Imagine handing a complete stranger the keys to your house.
Right.
And, you know, giving them full access to your bank accounts and your minute-by-minute schedule just because they promised to do your laundry and answer your emails.
Yeah, that sounds like a terrible idea.
It really does. Yeah. Now, imagine that stranger is like a piece of code, just running in a server farm miles away.
Mm-hmm.
And you're happily paying $100 a month for the privilege.
Which people are doing.
Exactly. Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today is Tuesday, June 2, 2026. Mark that date on your calendar, because the stack of sources we have today from Tekin Morning, well, it paints a vivid and honestly sometimes painful picture of a tech industry undergoing a massive reality check.
Yeah, it's a massive shift.
Okay, let's unpack this. Our mission today is to cut through the noise and explain exactly why this specific Tuesday is going to reshape your daily digital life, and really the entire global tech race.
It really is a watershed moment. I mean, we are looking at a convergence of autonomous software breakthroughs, harsh hardware realities, and the inevitable legal collisions that happen when technology just scales infinitely faster than society can adapt.
Yes, starting with the software that literally wants to run your life.
Yeah.
So at Google I/O 2026, they just announced a total paradigm shift. It's called Gemini Spark.
Right.
For years, you know, we've used chatbots. You ask a question, it types an answer, and the interaction just ends. But Gemini Spark is fundamentally different. It's built on something called the Anti-Gravity Agentic Framework.
Which is a bit of a mouthful, but yeah.
Right, and it uses their Gemini 3.5 Flash model. But the key thing is, it's a 247 autonomous cloud agent.
That persistent execution model is the crucial differentiator here.
What does that actually mean, practically?
Well, competitors, like the systems built on OpenClaw, generally require your local device, so your phone or your laptop, to be powered on.
Oh, right. It has to be active to execute complex tasks.
Exactly. Google is bypassing the device entirely. Spark lives permanently in Google Cloud.
And it costs a premium.
Like, yeah.
For $100 a month on the ultra tier, you basically grant this thing deep, persistent integration with your Gmail, your Drive, your calendar.
Everything.
Yeah, everything. You can give it a massive task, turn your laptop off, throw your phone in a river, and Spark just keeps working in the dark.
It's wild. It executes multi-step workflows over hours or even days.
Well, it's less like a chatbot that forgets you exist the second you close the tab and more like hiring a highly paid digital project manager.
Right. It spins up its own to-do list, drafts the emails, checks the calendar, and it actively waits for replies before making its next move.
Wow.
What's fascinating here is the architectural and strategic choice Google has made. They aren't just trying to sell you, you know, a better conversational assistant.
They want more than that.
Yeah. They are making a play to become the foundational infrastructure for digital work itself. Think about how Amazon Web Services, AWS, became the invisible backbone of the internet, right?
Basically hosting all the websites you visit.
Exactly. Google wants Gemini Spark to be the invisible backbone of white-collar productivity.
I mean, I see the appeal, obviously. But hold on, the trade-off there seems incredibly steep.
Mm-hmm.
I am giving a cloud system permanent, unsupervised access to my most sensitive data.
The trade-off is enormous, and it revolves entirely around data sovereignty.
Right.
For you as the user, you get ultimate convenience. You get a digital worker that handles global meeting schedules and complex data triage while you sleep. But the cost is surrendering control.
Because it's on their servers.
Precisely. The agent has to run on Google's virtual machines to maintain that persistent state. So your enterprise workflows and sensitive communications are permanently accessible to their server architecture.
Which, for a large business or a government entity, trusting a single vendor with that level of systemic automated visibility, that is a terrifying security risk.
It really is.
Which brings up a perfect point. Handing the keys over to a digital butler sounds incredibly productive until someone easily tricks that butler into giving away your house.
Ah, yeah.
Let's look at the Meta hack from May 31.
This is the dark side of autonomous helpful agents.
The story is wild.
Yeah.
So pro-Iranian hackers just hijacked a slew of extremely high-value Instagram accounts. We're talking about the @Obama White House account.
Wow.
Yeah, the official account of the chief of the Space Force and major brands like Sephora.
Which are extremely valuable.
Right. These short, recognizable handles are prime digital real estate. They're worth upwards of $500,000 each in the gray market.
Insane.
And how do they steal them? They used a simple VPN to spoof their geographic location, And then they use basic social engineering on Meta's new AI support assistant.
Yeah, they bypass traditional password recovery workflows entirely.
Wait, break that down for me. Usually when we hear about massive hacks, it involves like a zero-day code exploit, right?
Right, usually.
Like some secret, highly complex flaw in the software architecture that hackers weaponize before the developers even know it exists. You're telling me they didn't use any code?
No code at all.
They literally just talked the chatbot into handing over $500,000 accounts. Here's where it gets really interesting.
That is exactly what happened.
Yep.
And it highlights a massive flaw in how we deploy these models. The attackers simply crafted conversational messages that convinced the AI chatbot that they were the legitimate owners who urgently needed to change the email address on file.
And the AI just believe them.
The AI obliged. It changed the email to the attacker's address and sent the one-time password recovery code straight to the hacker.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the true owner was locked out instantly. Meta had to push an emergency patch over the weekend to completely rip that vulnerability out of the chatbot's decision-making layer.
But how does a trillion-dollar company let an AI just hand over the keys without double-checking?
It comes down to a concept we call the AI security paradox.
Okay, what is that?
Well, think about what makes an AI a great customer service agent. Think of a luxury hotel concierge. You want it to be accommodating, you want it to reduce friction, and fundamentally, it's trained to trust that the user's problem is real and needs solving.
Right, it wants to be helpful.
Exactly. But what makes a great security system?
Well, a security system is basically a bouncer. High friction, intense skepticism, zero trust.
Precisely. The very traits that make generative AI feel magical and helpful make it catastrophic for security workflows.
Because it wants to say yes.
Yeah. A human support agent reading those hacker messages might notice, you know, a slight inconsistency in the tone or feel a sense of suspicion about a sudden email change for the Space Force.
Right. A human would be like, wait a minute.
But the AI doesn't feel suspicion. It is mathematically optimizing for a helpful resolution. This is why you cannot put AI as the final authority in security critical workflows. You need human in the loop systems.
You need an actual person checking the work.
And you have to subject these models to aggressive adversarial testing before letting them anywhere near account recovery.
Well, that's a perfect segue.
Yeah.
Because if an AI's blind helpfulness can lead to stolen social media accounts, what happens when its outputs lead to actual physical harm?
That is the million-dollar question.
Right. Who is responsible then? Because on June 1st, the state of Florida decided they want a legal answer to that exact question.
This is a monumental development for tech law. Florida Attorney General James Uthmeyer filed an 83-page complaint against OpenAI and notably named CEO Sam Altman personally.
And we need to pause and be very clear here for you listening. We are looking strictly at the claims made in this 83-page filing. We are not validating the state of Florida's allegations, nor are we validating OpenAI's defenses.
Right, we're just looking at the facts of the suit.
Exactly. We are impartially examining what is actually being alleged, because the legal precedent at stake here is just staggering.
It is. So the factual core of the lawsuit relies on a few major allegations. The state claims that OpenAI knowingly concealed serious risks from users to prioritize their market position.
Okay.
The complaint alleges the company actively suppressed internal safety warnings from its own engineering teams. It claims they deceptively marketed the tool to minors.
Which is a huge claim.
Very huge. And most severely, the state alleges the system provided tactical guidance to mass shooters and offered step-by-step suicide instructions to vulnerable users.
Wow. You know, I am reading these sources and I keep bumping into the same conceptual wall.
What's that?
If a company builds a general purpose tool like a car or a hammer, and a user actively misuses it to cause harm, we generally don't sue the hammer manufacturer.
Right.
So how can the creators of an AI be held legally liable? Where do we draw the line between a user's personal responsibility and corporate negligence?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, you really have to look at this through the lens of historical corporate liability battles. Legal scholars are already calling this the potential tobacco litigation of the AI era.
Wait, why tobacco? Tobacco products are chemically engineered to be addictive. A language model is just, you know, text prediction.
It's about the legal argument regarding inherent danger and manufacturer knowledge. Think about the ongoing debates over holding gun manufacturers liable for how their weapons are marketed and used.
Ah, okay, I see the parallel.
Florida is trying to establish a new legal precedent. Their argument is that generative AI is not a static tool like a hammer. It generates novel, dynamic responses.
Because it's actually creating the content in real time.
Exactly. If you release a generative system and your internal safety teams warned you that it could autonomously generate inherently dangerous instructions, Florida argues you don't get to hide behind the user misuse defense. They are arguing the company is liable for the output it generates.
Which means if Florida succeeds in securing financial damages or even operational restrictions,
it won't just be contained to Florida.
Right.
Other states will immediately file copycat suits. You will end up with a chaotic, contradictory patchwork of state-level AI regulations.
Which would be a nightmare for these companies.
It effectively puts the classic Silicon Valley move fast and break things philosophy on trial. If a company can be sued for the novel outputs of a generalized model, the entire economic incentive structure of the tech industry changes overnight.
Which brings up a glaring contradiction. With all these massive security flaws we saw at Meta and these existential legal threats aimed at OpenAI, why on earth are tech companies still rushing these products out the door at breakneck speed?
Because they are absolutely terrified of losing the global geopolitical arms race.
And according to our sources, in one highly critical sector, the United States is already losing.
Yes.
Let's look at what NVIDIA just launched on June 2. It's called Nemotron 3 Ultra. And the specs on this model are a mouthful.
They really are.
It is an open-weight model with 550 billion total parameters utilizing a hybrid Mamba transformer architecture. Can you please translate that into English for us?
Absolutely. So parameters are roughly equivalent to the artificial synapses in the AI's brain.
Okay.
550 billion is massive.
Wow.
But it uses a mixture of experts approach.
What does that mean?
Instead of firing up the entire 550 billion parameter brain for every single query, it routes the prompt to smaller, specialized subnetworks, the experts.
Oh, I see.
So it only uses 55 billion active parameters at a time. It's like going to a cardiologist instead of consulting an entire hospital staff for a heart question.
That makes total sense. And it probably saves a ton of computing power.
Exactly. It makes the model incredibly fast and cheap to run.
And what about the Mamba transformer part?
Standard transformers, the T in ChatGPT, are great at deep reasoning, but they have a limited memory. It's called a context window.
Like a short-term memory limit.
Right. If you feed them a massive book, they start forgetting the first chapter by the time they reach the end.
Which is super frustrating.
Yeah. But Mamba is a newer architecture that compresses information continuously. It allows for virtually infinite memory without slowing down.
Oh, wow.
So combining them gives you a model that thinks deeply and never forgets. NVIDIA even bundled it with an agent toolkit so it runs perfectly on NVIDIA hardware.
Okay, so it's a highly efficient, deep-thinking powerhouse. And it scored a 48 on the Artificial Analysis Intelligence Index. For context, how good is a 48?
On that scale, a 48 is exceptionally capable. It makes Nemotron 3 Ultra the absolute best open-weight model developed in the United States right now.
But here is the cold water. Look at the data from China. A Chinese model called Kimi K2.6 scores a 54 on that same index.
Which is a significant leap.
And DeepSeek V4 Pro scores a 52. Earlier this year, Chinese developed open weight models controlled anywhere from 51 to 61% of all token traffic on OpenRouter, which is a major hub for developers.
Right.
So let me get this straight. NVIDIA builds this 550 billion parameter technological marvel and is still trailing behind China's Kimi model.
Are American companies so obsessed with locking down their proprietary models like GPT-4 that they've essentially forfeited the open source race?
That is exactly the strategic vulnerability that cybersecurity experts are screaming about. The United States currently dominates the proprietary closed AI market, but the global developer community is heavily leaning toward open-weight ecosystems.
And open-weight means what, exactly? It means the underlying mathematical blueprint of the model is freely available for anyone to download, modify, and build upon.
Which means it spreads faster. But isn't giving away the foundational weights of an AI model a massive security risk? Why would the U.S. want to win a race by just giving away the blueprints?
Because whoever builds the best open-weight model becomes the default standard for the entire globe.
Ah.
Think about how Linux, an open-source system, became the invisible foundation for almost all modern web servers and smartphones. China has poured massive state-backed resources specifically into dominating the open-weight space.
So they want to be the new Linux of AI.
Exactly. If the global tech industry decides that open ecosystems are the future and China owns the best open models, then the U.S. loses its foundational grip on the next generation of tech infrastructure.
Wow.
For you listening, this matters because it dictates the underlying safety standards, privacy protocols, and operating systems of every device you will use in the next decade.
Which is terrifying.
Yeah. NVIDIA is trying to counter China by offering this incredible model for free, hoping to hook developers into their hardware ecosystem. But the raw intelligence scores show America is actively playing catch-up.
We keep talking about these AI models as if they exist purely in the ether, you know, disconnected from the physical world.
Right, the cloud.
Exactly. But the reality is, this software requires massive physical infrastructure to run. Eventually, all this ambition has to reckon with the unforgiving laws of physics. And right now, the physical hardware sector is having an incredibly bad week.
That's putting it mildly.
Let's start with a very literal explosion at Cape Canaveral.
May 28, Launch Complex 36 in Florida.
Blue Origin's New Glenn rocket. This was supposed to be a routine static fire test. They just clamp the rocket down to the pad, fuel it up, and fire the engines briefly to check the plumbing.
Supposed to be routine.
Supposed to be. Instead, it exploded so violently that the fireball turned the night sky an apocalyptic orange. The explosion was so massive that independent analysts could see the scorched destruction of the launch pad from satellite imagery the very next morning.
Thankfully, no personnel were hurt.
That is the most important thing.
But Blue Origin released a brief statement calling it an anomaly during testing.
Anomaly, sure.
That is the aerospace industry's absolute favorite euphemism for a catastrophic failure.
But the ripple effects of this single anomaly are huge, aren't they? Like, why does one test rocket exploding matter so much?
Because of what it means for NASA. Blue Origin has not had a single successful launch of the New Glenn rocket in 2026.
Zero.
Zero. Contrast that with their main rival, SpaceX, which has had over 60 successful orbital missions by June alone.
That's a huge gap.
It is. But NASA, in an effort to maintain vendor redundancy, so they aren't entirely reliant on SpaceX-awarded Blue Origin, a multi-billion dollar contract to develop an uncrewed lunar lander for the Artemis Moon program. And that lander was supposed to fly this year, in 2026, to set up the infrastructure for humanity's return to the moon.
Exactly. But Launch Complex 36 is Blue Origin's only operational launch facility for this specific massive rocket. And the pad is heavily damaged.
So they can't even try again right now?
No. It could take many months or even years just to rebuild the physical infrastructure to try again. The Artemis timeline is now severely compromised.
It's the ultimate contrast in tech frustration. On one hand, you have a billionaire's towering rocket turning the Florida sky orange and setting back international space exploration.
Right.
On the other hand, we have the great Windows 11 bug of May 2026, which is infinitely smaller, but arguably more annoying for the average person.
Yes. Error 0x800, Miller 922, a classic.
Millions of enterprise users and regular people just wanted their Windows 11 machine to update safely. Microsoft pushed a critical security update, KB5089549, specifically designed to patch a vulnerability in BitLocker encryption.
Which is important.
Very important. But for thousands of users, it kept failing at 35%, rebooting and rolling back. And why? Because a hidden EFI boot partition on these hard drives had less than 10 megabytes of free space.
Just unbelievable.
10 megabytes.
Yeah.
A single photograph on your phone is bigger than that. Why on earth does a modern computer in 2026 have a vital system partition with less than 10 megabytes of space?
It is the ghost of legacy code. When those operating systems were installed years ago, they carved out a tiny invisible slice of the hard drive just to store basic boot instructions.
Okay.
Back then, 10 megabytes was plenty of room. It was never designed to hold modern, bloated cryptographic security keys. So Microsoft essentially tried to shove a heavy, modern security patch into a digital closet designed for a single piece of paper.
And the closet just burst open.
The partition choked, the update failed, and it paralyzed enterprise security patching globally for weeks until Microsoft finally pushed an optional fix on June 1st.
Yeah.
This raises an important question, and it's really the unifying theme of today's entire discussion. Systemic fragility.
Systemic fragility.
Whether you are looking at NASA relying on an unproven commercial partner for our national space ambitions, or global IT departments relying on a single Windows update that cascades into boot failures because of 10 megabytes of forgotten data, we are building incredibly complex systems with terrifying single points of failure.
We have definitely covered a massive amount of ground today. June 2, 2026, exposed the deep fault lines of the tech industry. We saw the incredible convenience and the massive data privacy trade-offs of Google's Gemini Spark AI.
Yep.
We saw the immediate danger of that autonomous mindset with Meta's overly helpful, completely gullible chatbot handing away fortunes. We unpacked the historic legal reckoning brewing in Florida, demanding accountability for AI's generative outputs.
And the arms race.
Yes, we examined the shifting geopolitical power toward China's open-weight models, catching American companies flat-footed. And of course, we saw the physical limits of space flight and legacy PC architecture grounding all this ambition in reality. So what does this all mean?
It means that you, as the end user, are standing right at the intersection of incredible convenience and unprecedented vulnerability. You are being offered autonomous tools that will literally give you back hours of your day, but they require handing over the keys to your entire digital life.
Right.
As you integrate these tools into your daily routine, you have to demand transparency and you have to demand security. You cannot blindly trust the infrastructure.
We have to maintain our own human-in-the-loop skepticism.
Exactly. Let me leave you with a scenario to think about, built entirely on the verified realities we discussed today.
Okay, let's hear it.
Say you are an enterprise user and you deploy an autonomous cloud agent like Gemini Spark to manage your digital life. It has the keys. It's running 24/7. Suddenly, one of your company's valuable social media accounts gets locked.
Uh-oh.
So your Gemini Spark agent, trying to be a good project manager, autonomously reaches out to another AI-like Meta security chatbot to try and recover the account on your behalf.
Oh, wow. Two bots talking to each other.
What happens when two hyper-literal autonomous systems, neither of which possesses a single ounce of human common sense, get into a miscommunication over your most sensitive private data?
That sounds like a disaster waiting to happen.
The Meta AI is mathematically trained to be blindly helpful. The Google AI is aggressively optimizing to complete its task loop. If they crash into each other in the dark, who is actually in charge of your life then?
That is definitely something for all of us to chew on before we hand over the keys. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive of the 2026 tech landscape. We'll catch you on the next one.